Hey there, Noise Cancelling fans, Matt here. Just wanted to drop in at the start of this podcast to give a little apology. Cherie's audio throughout this episode is a little bit rough, but please do try and stick with it. It's a fantastic episode of the podcast, and rest assured, it will not be an issue on next week's episode. Thanks again for listening to the Noise Cancelling podcast, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to talk to you about some noise. Do you want it? No? Okay, well, don't worry, we'll send it back. We'll cancel the order. We'll just cancel that noise and we'll turn it into a podcast. We'll call it the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Here we are. Let's talk about some things. Now, ostensibly, we love to talk about tech and gaming, so I think we should do that again today. Got a great lineup, though, for episode something, 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 something. I never know which episode we're on. 50-ish? It'd probably make a bigger deal if it was that case. Maybe 40-something. Either way, noise cancelling is happening. Who is on the podcast with me today?
It's me, Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Ty Gollis-Rowe, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Uppercut.
Hi, I'm Jess Weatherbed. I'm the UK-based computing writer for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. Jess, I liked how formal you made your title sound. That was nice.
I could try and do something slightly more interesting, I guess, but I feel I'd be overshadowing the fantastic introductions that preceded me. Also, it's a key part of this being audio only is that my surname takes a lot of focus to pronounce properly. Otherwise, I risk humiliating myself. So there's a lot of effort there.
I was driving past a road yesterday called Featherbed Road, and I thought I'd stop and take a picture and thought that'd be weird. Didn't do it.
That's a new one, to be fair. Weatherby, usually just wet the bed. So that's the standard. But
oh.
Yeah, exactly. But I have a lisp, so I risk introducing myself as Jessica Wetthebed constantly. Or at least that's what it sounds like. Hence the very formal, professional sounding introduction.
Yes, well, thank you very much for that, Jess. We really do appreciate it. Right, before we start, usually it's the big question. So something that's happened this week, and we'll riff off that and try and come up with better answers. So this week, IO has bought the Hitman IP. So intellectual property, for those that don't know, not internet protocol. So the question we're going to ask is, which games publisher would you like to buy which developer and why? I'm going to start with Ty. Hi, Ty. Welcome to the podcast. Lovely to have you.
Hi. So I've been thinking about this a lot. I guess I wanted to say Battletoads, and then I remembered that we got a new Battletoads this year, so that kind of threw me for a loop a little bit, which that was actually a surprisingly good game. I think I would probably honestly want the Miles Morales team to just get to go do their own thing, like fully indie. Like, obviously Sony has the money and stuff, but like, I just feel like that game, if they could just really, really go hog wild with it and like make a full series, that would be really cool. So that is my vote.
Jess.
I had a little bit of a hard time with this because I usually come into these situations with quite negative opinions. All of my favorite games are currently independently published, and I think that would be a little bit of a blemish if a publisher took them up. But then I remembered the original PS2 version for Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. That studio went under, and if they were ever going to remake those games, I would love for the Santa Monica studio, the guys behind the new God of War remakes, to take that over, because I think that would be a fantastic kind of single player open world RPG format. That's pretty much the only exception I can think of, really.
So both Ty and Jess seem to have done some actual research for this. Cherie, noted winger.
Well, no, I have an answer. I would like Microsoft to buy Konami, so I can get my Silent Hill. I can, like, Microsoft could potentially make up with Kojima-san.
Yeah.
And I could get more convoluted Metal Gear Solids, because listen, the more convoluted the better. Give me more. Maybe some more Castlevania. I would like all of the games that Konami made to be restored, like make peace with the people who originally made them, so we don't have to have spiritual successors. Even though I love Bloodstained. I love it so much. It's a beautiful game. But I would love to have a sequel to Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It is my favorite Castlevania, and I'm very sad that I'm most likely never going to get it because Konami.
You probably can't see me aggressively nodding because this is a podcast, but I was aggressively nodding throughout the entirety of that.
I did. I fed agree. Off of that positivity.
Yeah, I feel like people might have heard it. That's fine. They would have heard the rustling of the mic as your hair flashed across it. As regular listeners to the podcast will know, I was a really avid gamer until I was about 11 and then just stopped. No, 15 maybe. And then just completely stopped. And I can't tell you why, because I loved it so much. And so all my knowledge just is ending there. You know, I'll play some small bits and pieces here, like, you know, Rocket League, Fall Guys. But basically, I feel very much like an old man in the gaming world. So this question, I was like, I just miss Rare as a developer. I want to see Snake Rattle and Roll for the Nintendo remade somehow. And Microsoft's already bought Rare, so that's already been ruined. So I'd like to go back in time, change that, and to see Snake Rattle and Roll come back in a game that I could actually understand and enjoy. That's my thinking. But again, and also as a note to my dad, who loves this podcast and will often give me feedback on a Sunday after he's had a listen to it on his weekly shop. Dad, this is going to be very gaming heavy. So if you're struggling with that, you can skip to the end and just tell me that you listened to most of it. That's fine. So yeah, I have no idea who deserves the points for that one. Cherie, you have to award them.
Do yourself.
Go on.
Yeah, self award there. It's got to be.
I mean, if that's how everyone feels, then I will take that pat on the back and get the points to myself.
It stuff like Castlevania and Silent Hill as franchises absolutely deserve some more love in kind of this decade.
Could you imagine?
At least Castlevania got the anime.
Yeah, but could you imagine if all that Fallout hadn't gone on Konami, we probably would have had PT.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I grew up with the Silent Hill games. They're pretty much the only horror genre I can really play comfortably. Bizarrely, I have no idea how. But the fact that PT had such a sudden, vicious demise with just absolutely... like no resolution to the situation was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, Konami.
It kind of feels like Death Stranding. Like they got all the same guys in. They got Guillermo del Toro. They got Norman Reedus, and they went, oh, don't worry, we're still gonna make a game with these guys. And I played it, and yeah, it really doesn't feel like a replacement. It doesn't feel like the kind of excitement I had for PT in any way.
What's PT?
PT was that demo that honestly, if you have a PS4 and you still have, and you have and you downloaded PT, I would never ever sell that. I would hold on to that and make sure that it stays in pristine condition because you can't download it anymore. Like after the Fallout came with Konami, they basically disabled it and was like, if you downloaded it, fine, don't ever delete it. If you did not, you were SOL. And yeah, so those consoles will probably be worth a pretty penny down the line.
I have it downloaded onto my PS4 and I refuse to give it to any of my younger siblings, even as like an inheritance thing, because that is something very dear to me.
Oh, what? I didn't know I wanted it. Now I want it. I'm not even sure what it is still, but I'll
send you a video.
It's a scary demo of like a hallway with a mean lady.
What?
Yeah. The whole demo, you can probably play through it in like 20 minutes. It's basically like a haunted house kind of simulation situation. But
you're like a cop tied to a chair and then a mean lady beats the shit out of you repeatedly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, fine.
It got really positive reviews though. And this is one of the things that like the hype train that was running for this was so big because of all the news around it. And then we all kind of woke up one morning. Konami had made an announcement saying, yep, it's not happening anymore. We're going to scorch the earth of this. There's going to be no trace of it. You can't download it. You're not going to get the game. Everything that was tied to it is going to disappear forever. And we were just sat there like, wait, what?
It sounds like when VR started to become a thing and you could download different games and stuff. And there was, I can't remember which one it was, but there was always that kind of horror game star that came on and you would be in a room and you'd have to untie yourself and then a lady would come through a wall or something. I can't remember, but it was very scary. And, you know, it sounds in VR, this would be even worse, but I can't play it. And now I feel like I've lost something that I never knew I had. Great. Right. So this year, 2021, which we're still waiting for it to turn into the best year of all time, big high hopes that it will happen. You know, we're getting rid of the, you know, the dregs of 2020 still going through. But we're adding in a new feature to the Noise Cancelling Podcast, and that is the Gadget Hall of Fame, where we ask new entrants onto the podcast, of which we have two today, both Jess and Ty. But Ty, you're going to be bringing something in. Now, this can be your first gadget. It could be one of your favorite things in tech or gaming. What are you going to try and convince us deserves a spot in this Hall of Fame and not put in the gadget drawer of shame, which I've just made up and it rhymes. Really proud of myself for that.
I showed my hand a little bit earlier, but the Battletoads SNES cartridge, because I know everybody in the world hates that game, but I think it slaps because I played it as a child and didn't understand that difficulty was a thing, so I just thought I sucked. And I had fun with it. Also, the dark sources in that game definitely made me gay. So, big, big ups to that game.
So before we get into all of that, I still can't understand why America calls it the SNES. It's the SNES. It was the NES to everybody. Why is it not the SNES?
I don't know.
Oh, that's bad.
Dude, I'm American. I don't know why we do shit. I just do it.
Yeah. Okay. Because it was the Super Nintendo, the SNES. That's what we know.
The SNES, the NES, and the SNES.
Did you call it the NES as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that continued as the NES.
No, we call them the letters, I think.
Yeah.
That's fine. There's consistency. I don't care anymore. That's fine. Do what you want. So why was this game derided originally? I've only ever heard of it. I've never played it.
Oh, it's just terribly hard. Like
it's really, really hard. And like
It's also kind of like
knockoff Ninja Turtles, which I think a lot of people like were not into.
No.
I love that. I think that's really, if you take like really like staple characters and make like vaguely shitty knockoffs of them, I am here for it. I love that. It is my favorite thing. So having them be like these weird, like buff teenage frogs who are like fighting pigs and stuff, I thought it was awesome. It was like a Ninja Turtles game I never had, but with fun frogs.
Did you play Ninja Turtles?
I did like in arcade machines and stuff, but I never had it at home. But I had Battletoads at home.
We had Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles in the UK. Still not entirely sure why. Apparently ninja was just too strong a word for us, so they became heroes. And a half shell, turtle power. But
the tagline was heroes in a half shell.
So yeah, also they're like very specifically ninjas.
Yeah, but that's a bad word in the 80s apparently, the UK, or early 90s.
I think they amended it when I was a kid, because I definitely remember it being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, at least when I was kind of growing up watching stuff.
Yeah, let's not outline the difference in our ages. That's not necessary.
that wasn't a dig in that. It's just I never remember it being called Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, ever.
Well, you weren't there at the beginning, so it's fine. You never had the playing cards where you had to try... Because the thing is... In England, back in the... Oh, let's go. Right back time to Allman Gareth. In the early 90s, obviously, the things for America were just the coolest ever. You know, like it was... Like I had a friend whose parents divorced and his dad went to America. And I was like, oh, he's so lucky. Like, he gets to go to America on a plane and he brought back plane things that he got, like socks and eye masks. And, you know, he had a different SNES. And, there was just such a different sort of cool factor around it. And I, for some reason, never got the early episodes of Turtles. So I just came into it like, oh, they are large human-like turtles that fight things. This is the best thing ever. And only through the playing cards could I try and piece out the backstory and see what had actually happened. And I was like, so there's ooze. Right, okay. And it was just this really difficult thing. Like, there was one that had the most information on it and someone gave it to me, but it was water damaged and I couldn't read it. And it was just...
I love the idea of like Child Gareth with his like conspiracy theory board with all these playing cards, like trying to connect the red strings to like figure out the plot. And he's like, okay, so there's ooze. How does it relate to everything else?
So yeah, Gareth, when did you find out that the turtles live in the Marvel universe? Because that same ooze that mutated them blinded Daredevil.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm dead ass serious. Yeah. That's what
it's
happened.
It's the same, yeah.
Well, so this is, we're going way off tangent, but essentially, who makes that cool? Like, I could make up shit about anything.
I mean, that's all that comic books are. Yeah. Everybody who dunks on fan fiction needs to, like, look at the comics industry, because it's literally just a bunch of different grown men being like, I'm going to write Batman! Like, this is all it is.
No, but seriously, like, Daredevil came first, and, dude who created Turtles loved that so much. He's like, yeah, so that's the same ooze. So, like, theoretically, the Turtles are in the MCU. Well, they are in the comics.
So, if I don't know who created Turtles, because I was too busy trying to find out what actually happened. the, you know, if he just came back and said, actually, no, they were all Superman's children, like, yeah. What, does that make it real?
Like, I mean
it depends on who's giving money to DC, I guess.
Or which Superman. You could get one of the writers for one of the timelines to turn around and go, I guess my Superman could be the father of four lonely artistic turtle ninjas.
There's only one Superman. This multiverse theory is just too difficult.
DC might argue otherwise, unfortunately.
Like, there was a whole game back in the 90s with four different Supermen. Like, well, three, because then it was Superboy, Superboy Prime, Superman Prime, what? Steel, and I forgot what the third one was, because our Superman had 86 by Doomsday, and like all these Supermen came in to fill his spot.
Yeah, they kind of did the same thing again with the New 52, too.
It's looking like...
I love, they were like, what if instead of just Superman, though, it was everybody? What if we killed everybody?
I would say spoilers, but I don't know what we're talking about right now. I mean, my main thing with Turtles was that there was a pizza at Asda, the local supermarket, that had baked beans and hot dogs on it, and I never got to eat it, and it was Turtle tie-in, whatever the phrase would be. I don't know. I wanted it so much because it had, in Asda, they had turtle feet that would walk you towards it from the very outset. And I was like, well, I just ran off down that turtle track and then wasn't allowed it.
There's a really interesting kind of mini series on Netflix actually called The Toys That Made Us that documents all of like. It's so interesting. It goes through like the beginnings of all these cartoons and these franchises, and so many of them stem from like the toys came first, and then they had to find a cartoon or make a cartoon to tie in with these toys to retell to kids. And I grew up watching reruns of stuff like He-Man and She-Ra and Power Rangers, Transformers, not knowing where any of it comes from, and they just document the whole thing as to why the 80s kids were so obsessed with just giant robots punching other things and mutated animals.
I'm all about it. All about it.
The new She-Ra, I was trying to get the little one to watch something on Netflix, and I saw that they rebooted She-Ra, and I was like, oh, sacrilege, part of my childhood.
No, it's excellent.
And then I started watching it, and I was like, actually, this is pretty good. But I thought, you know what? I want her to watch the original. So I got her to see got on YouTube, like the original titles. And I was like, actually, this is shit. Like, this is, I remember this being a lot, lot better than it was. And then the new one is genuinely like, you know, it's one of those ones where as an adult parent, you sort of find yourself just going like, yeah, what happened? Didn't just get her to recap the episode because you just want to find out, you know, what bits went on. So I think it's actually miles better. I love the fact it's princesses of power rather than just princess.
Yes.
It's a much better series. Anyway, I didn't get the pizza. Let's move on. So Ty, Jess, sorry, do you believe that Battletoads earns its place in the Hall of Shame? Hall of Fame, even.
Yes, I guess. I can't personally test this because I'd never played Battletoads, unfortunately. I've heard legend tell of how difficult it is, and I've never heard a person speak of it in a bad way. It's always fond memories of playing Battletoads. So yeah, goes in the Hall of Fame. I say so. Great. And I say so, so it is.
That's the way it works.
And that's the bottom line.
Right, let's talk about things that have happened this week. And it's been a great week on Tech Radar because we have had our inaugural LGBTQ+ gaming week, of which, Jess, I know that you've been involved, and Ty as well, for helping out with myriad parts of it. Ty, before we get into that, again, thank you for joining us on the podcast. We always love having people from outside the Future Stable come join. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Your hat, which the listeners can't see, is giving away a clue.
Yeah, so I am a freelance writer. I mostly cover games, and I also run Uppercut, which is an indie games, like, mostly crit, but we kind of do everything outlet. And yeah, it's we focus a lot on like highlighting marginalized folks and indie games and a lot of like queer stuff, all of that kind of biz. And I focus on a lot of that in my writing and stuff too. So yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, like I said, for getting involved and helping us with the inaugural gaming week. What were your thoughts on it so far in terms of, you know, why this is important? You know, we got lots of reasons why we wanted it on team, but from an outsider, how did you perceive it?
I don't know. I think that people probably don't think of Tech Radar necessarily as like the one to kind of do like big weeks like that to specifically push, you know, different diversity initiatives. So I think it was really cool that you guys just did that off the start in general. When I heard about it from Vic, it was just kind of a cool thing off the bat. And then I think looking at all of the stories, I sub-edited, I think, 4 of them. And they were just very, like, varied across what they were talking about and, you know, who was doing the writing. And I thought it was really interesting and cool to have, you know, a platform for those folks to be able to get that stuff out there on a site that's a little bit more major and maybe not quite as, like, the usual suspects for that kind of thing in that way.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky as an editor-in-chief to have a team that's so, the variety of issues that the team care about and want to write about, and to be able to enable that was really brilliant. And you mentioned Vic Hood there, our gaming editor, who unfortunately is sick for the recording of this. No offense to Jess, but she was down to be alongside to talk about this, but luckily we have got Jess, who is also a lovely addition to the Tech Radar team, to sub in. And thank you very much for joining us as well, Jess. I mean, what's been your thoughts so far, your feelings on what we've seen so far on the site? I know obviously this has been coming for months, so we've had a fair few previews here and there, but how do you think it's gone so far?
It's really nice to see kind of the varied mix of responses for this, and especially having I read all of them when they go up. I wasn't directly involved other than talking to Vic, kind of an outside perspective on that side of things, but I didn't directly contribute in the way that obviously Ty and the freelancers have. But a lot of the stories and a lot of the common feelings that are being portrayed in all of the articles going up are very relatable and mutual, kind of regardless of what letter you may find yourself on the LGBTQIA spectrum. You can find a resonance with so many of the things that are going up. I know the Sim story is kind of really kicking off at the minute, and that's something that I don't think I've met a single queer person that hasn't had a Sims experience or knows of other queer people who have had a Sims experience. We all seem to have this shared history of trying to hide your same-sex relationships from your parents when you're on the family computer, and that's your first kind of introduction to what queer identity could be in gaming.
You raised the one I was going to talk about in a minute, you know, the piece Sim Sexuality and the Promiscuity of Female Woohoo by Maggie Gates has been one of the most widely read pieces on the site so far, which is wonderful to see. It's been gaining many, many thousands of views, which is, like I said, when we put this week together, we didn't know where it was going to go or how it was going to be perceived from the normal Tech Radar audience, and whether, you know, the different views and the things we're trying to amplify through there would make sense to, you know, usually talking about iPhones and stuff like that for the main part. So it's really pleasing to see that that there's an acceptance of that just through the views themselves. But why do you think, I'll ask you, Ty and Cherie, why do you think this piece has perhaps ignited so quickly?
I think that the piece itself is really interesting, and then it's touching on a lot of stuff that I think people have a lot of feelings about with regards to, like, you know, female promiscuity in general, and then, like, you know, how that's projected through games, especially because games have such a fraught relationship with sex and sexuality a lot of the time. And so I think just getting to talk about that in a way that people haven't really yet has definitely kicked off a lot of interest.
Well, first, let me just say I am blown away by this feature that Tech Radar has undertaken. It's the kind of journalism that we need to see more of, because like everybody should be represented. Like, you never know who might be, like, you never know what spark might be lit because someone just happened to come to Tech Radar. I was like, hey, Tech Radar is talking about queer representation, and I want to do that too. Like, you might spark a new journalist. You might make someone's day. Sims, like, I've never been a Sims person. I, like, if I'm going games where I can, like, I'm basically simulating real life, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but that's because your life is just, like, full on all the time, Cherie.
Like, I don't do Animal Crossing because like, oh, so off the bat, I owe someone, like, how, and I've got to work off this debt. I owe a raccoon. Nah, I'm not doing that. But I like being able, what I like about Sims is that you can create those lives that maybe you want to have, like, and have, like, being able to be a, like, have your Sim just be for the streets, I think it's refreshing. Like, sometimes you want to experiment with things, but you don't want to risk you. And I think it's a really good, safe way to do that type of role play. Video games have gotten to that point where it's like, okay, yes, maybe you're trying to get a relationship, you're trying to save someone, but like the sex thing has always been like, like, and we all just giggle like kids, and like to be able to approach it in a more mature fashion, I think that's always a great thing.
I also just think having a digital hoe phase is relatable too. It's relatable content.
Sometimes you just gotta be for the community, just out there.
the what phase?
Hoe phase.
A digital hoe phase.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make sure it had gone through. It sounded amazing. So Ty, in terms of the week, I said you've been there and helped us edit through some of these pieces. Are there any that you've enjoyed or are coming up that you wanted to highlight as well?
Yeah. So there is one about indie games and like queer indies versus the representation of queer people in like mainstream and like AAA games that's coming out, and a queer indie developer wrote it, and so it's kind of from that perspective of like, you know, kind of watching from the outside and seeing how all this stuff plays out, and I think it's really, really good and interesting, and Vic and I did a lot of work with the writer on that to make it really good, and so I'm excited for it.
And in terms of the industry itself, from a freelance perspective, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, I cannot take any credit for this week. I mean, so many members of TechRadar wanted to do things like this, and Vic's been an absolute champion of this, and has been wonderful. Like I said, it's a shame that she can't be here to talk about all the hard work she's put in as well. But you know, being able to amplify these voices, I mean, why is that specifically so difficult, especially when it comes to the themes and the topics that we're talking about?
I mean, it's hard, right? Because I mean, if you really want to get into it with gaming, particularly, like, we still are reckoning with like all of the fallout of Gamergate. And so, you know, the like women and queer people and people of color have been targeted in this industry forever. And after Gamergate, when it all came to a, you know, a head, like, we're still dealing with shitty gamers in the comments and all that stuff. Like, I do news for GameSpot, and half of the time if I'm writing a controversial story, like, they have me turn my comments off. We're just dealing with so much of that still that it's really hard. But two, it's also just, you know, it's a really big space. It's kind of the same conversation when we talk about, like, oh, why don't people cover indies? And it's like, okay, well, like, look at Itch. Like, it's huge. And that's kind of the same thing with queer folks, too. Like, there's so many different identities and communities. And, like, you know, obviously, there's going to be different communities of, like, people of color or trans people within queerness. And so, like, it's hard to cover everybody under, you know, any one initiative. So it kind of just needs to be a situation where just more of everybody is brought in across the board, because, yeah, just no one can do it alone. There's just too much and too much, you know, what's the word I'm trying to look at? Like, nuance with people's identities and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, like I said, this is new ground for TechRadar to be covering this. And like I said, I'm incredibly proud that have the team that's put it together. But there will probably be a fair few of our readers that this is their first interaction with the LGBTQ+ community, especially in terms of gaming. And Jess, I mean, what would you suggest to somebody who's reading this stuff and is engaged positively and wants to go on further and just find out a little bit more? Obviously, read the whole week. It's brilliant. And we've got some good resources at the bottom of our hub, which is linked to heavily in the carousels of TechRadar. But what else could people do?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head by, obviously, with the sources to head that. But if people are reading this and they feel like they positively engage with the content, then make sure you're supporting the people who are creating this kind of content, because they are actively trying to make these spaces for people that need a kind of room to breathe, really. As Ty's pointed out, this can be a really hostile environment to try and make room for everyone. There are a lot of people who are always going to be argumentative, and the more positive reactions there are to this kind of content, the better it's going to be, and the safer it's going to be as an environment for your friends or your family, who may be kind of the more of a direct target for this kind of the queer gaming content itself. So do your best, support the people that need it. That's all I can say. Like, it's not that hard. That's the thing. Like, I wish I could spiel off loads of things that say, oh, you should go out and you should donate to charity and you should read these 15 books I'm going to suggest to you. But if you're enjoying it and you play these games and you view them positively, then that's a start. That's the best thing you can be doing right now. And if you see like hostile kind of interactions happening in voice of any of this, stand up for people. Half of the issue at the minute is that I think people remain silent when so much of this hostility is going on. And I think that's such a huge issue because it just leaves these people open to be subject to abuse. Whether that's in-game, if you're in-game and people are throwing homophobic or racist slurs around, why are you not interjecting? Why are you not reporting them? So, you know, be the ally that you can be. Be the best ally that you can be.
That's a lovely way to put it. I think, you know, just being the best is absolutely the right thing to do in this case. Like, I love the fact that you surmised it so nicely.
I could have just kind of hyperbole the whole thing to enjoy it and don't be a dick, which
I
is mean, a really
that's
good
what
way to summarize.
That's what I was going to say if the question came to me.
But I feel like that's just the good rule for life generally.
It is. Like everybody has their life's journey and it's really none of your business. I was talking to my mother and she was like, yeah, I was watching this transgender person on TV and like the transition, like first yet she had misgendered them, so I had to correct that. I'm like, well, listen, are they a trans man or a trans woman? And she's like, a trans. I'm like, okay, so let's use the proper pronouns because she's older, she's learning.
Yeah, they're working on it. My mom's
she's working
way.
On it because my mom doesn't have a hateful bone in her body, like except when you mess with one of her kids, then like you know, like any parent, like you come for a chick, she's just gonna try to claw your eyes out. But anyway. Back to this. And she was like, she still has masculine features. And like, I don't understand. I'm like, well, honestly, it's not for us to understand because it it's her journey. I have transgender friends and I knew them before they made the transition. And looking back at those photos and videos and looking at them now, I'm like, I feel like a shitty friend because I didn't realize how miserable they were because they weren't living in their true skin, and to see them so happy now is I guess the blessing of it, but I really didn't understand, and it's not my journey to understand. It's really for me as a friend to be supportive, so that's what I do. Like it, you know, if somebody has something wild to say, then you know, we knuckle and we buck.
I think that's like almost such an important point to kind of make in all of this, is that if you read this kind of content and you feel it doesn't directly affect you in any way, you're always going to get the people that they want to make a point. They want to start making hurtful comments. If it isn't your business, don't make it your business. Why are you going out of your way to be such a hurtful person? And you get these people where they'll go on rants and tirades about stuff that doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect their social wealth, their mental health, their like anything about them, and they'll interject themselves into the situation when it's none of their business. And if you can't be nice or respectful to these communities, then just leave them alone. Like, you don't need to include yourself. It's not about you.
Well, I feel like that's a lovely point for a break. We have gone well long into this first section. Looking at the running order, I'm like, we have got a lot to get through. And if I'm going to, you know, if Dad, you are still listening, just, I don't know, I can't tell you to spend long in the supermarket at the moment. So, I don't know, go home, find somewhere safe to listen to this further. So let's go for a quick break and speak to you soon. So this week, the Noise Cancelling Podcast is brought to you in association with Western Digital. There's something to talk about, but Cherie is the person that we want to hear about. She knows about speed. Hit us, Cherie.
This is for all the gamers out there. Whether you prefer to play on a console, PC, or laptop, it's important to use storage drives that are built to perform. The go-to is the WD Black, regardless of what's being played, because with WD Black gaming drives, you know that you can increase your capacity and speed to get in fast and take out opponents even faster.
Okay, fine. I understand what you're saying, but there's got to be more. There's got to be more key points that we're going to hit, Cherie. Come on.
Come on, man. This is me. Of course there are more key points. No matter what you're looking for, WD Black has a drive for you.
Whether you want to reduce load times or streamline your connectivity, a trusted drive can help you lead to more victories, which of course you want. Like, who doesn't like wins? Each drive is expertly designed inside and out to offer you premium gameplay with performance storage that is purpose-built for gaming because WD Black knows the game never waits. Now, WD Black offers even more storage with the new 4 terabyte version of the P50 drive for gamers looking for higher capacity and high speed. 4 terabytes. That's unreal. Think of all the games, especially if you have a PS5 or a Xbox Series X. You need that storage. With expansive storage capabilities on the WD Black drives, you can save it all your favorite titles to the drive while firing up a new game or your console or PC. Plus, you can forget about tedious loading screens or needing to delete other games to make room. You can now get that time back by increasing your console or PC storage and speed with WD Black drives.
So if you want to learn more about the portfolio of WD Black drives and optimize your gameplay with a drive that fits your console, desktop, PC, or laptop needs, then you know what you need to do. Make sure to head to wdblack.com to find the perfect drive for you. With WD Black, you can leave no game behind. Remember, that is wdblack.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, and I am joined by Ty, Jess, and Cherie. Let's talk quickly some more news before we get news blast from Jess. Quickly, the S21, Galaxy S21, the reviews are starting to wander in. Well, not the full reviews, obviously, people experiencing this phone in a multitude of ways. Cherie, have you got the phone, or are you looking forward to having it?
We're looking forward to having the phone. Looking forward to having it. Samsung does not consider us that special to get in that first wave yet. But I'm always excited for a new Galaxy phone, because that means that down the line I will be getting a new Galaxy Note, because I am in love with my Note 20 Ultra. Like, I love this phone so much. I think this is my favorite Note after the Note 4, so I am having a blast with it. I'm excited to touch it. I am concerned about some of the compromises that Samsung had to make, even though I'm hearing that plastic back isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The phone still seems very sturdy, and I definitely want to see how those Qualcomm chips are going to hang against Apple's Bionic chips.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones. James Peckham, obviously podcast alumni, has been using this phone for a few days now, but in his first 24 hours he was talking about how that camera bump on the back just looks, it's weird, it's like some sort of like Thanos is clawing around the back of the phone to try and sort of like rip off the cameras, like this weird chrome style, I don't know, like hiding the camera bump, and he's a big fan of it. So it turns out, not Thanos, Pexy, James Peckham. So that in itself is a good thing to see, but it's a difficult one. You know, these phones, again, Samsung's moved them up all the different versions. So what was the S10e became the S20, and now the S21. I can't even follow which one's which anymore. And this is from somebody whose phones was their life for a very, very long time. So it looks like these are really strong phones, and the S21 Ultra is the big one that everyone's really excited about. But fingers crossed we hear a little bit more soon, those reviews to pop up, so we can actually find out if they're good or not. I'm running through this right now because, like I said, we are so far behind. But also, WandaVision, has anyone watched this?
Yes.
One yes, no, Cherie?
What is it?
Okay.
WandaVision?
WandaVision!
Not WandaVision.
Not like WandaVision. It's not like some sort of weird like 1980s. I don't know.
Yeah, because it sounded like you said WandaVision, and I was very I'm like, what? I was very confused, and I should have just looked at the running order. But yes, oh my god, these first two episodes, I'm so excited for the series.
I mean, for those that, okay, I'm going to say for those that don't know, I'm going to recap. Then I realized I watched the first 5 minutes of this the other day to see if it was something I might want to get involved with. And I did enjoy it. But the first 5 minutes, I didn't understand what I was watching.
Sir, it was like,
I Love Lucy, and I Love Lucy style sitcom with, you know, Wanda and Vision from the MCU. And I was like, what?
Why? I kind of love that though.
I Love Lucy. That was Dick Van Dyke. That was a direct, like, between that and Bewitched.
I can't remember which one it was. There's all the, you know, the black and white sitcoms. Anyway, I mean, but everyone's going crazy about it. So, Jess, you said you watched 2 episodes so far. No spoilers,
yeah,
but it's good, right?
No, won't spoil anything. I think it's fantastic. It's so different from a lot of the other kind of Marvel TV shows that they've put out there. And I think your reaction of, I have no idea what's going on, is pretty apt. They don't really let on anything. So I don't think it's designed to be like the usual stuff like Marvel Daredevil or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that. But there's something really bizarrely wholesome about it. Even when it's trying to have layers to it, you just can't help but feel quite nice and warm inside when you're watching it, because it's just nice to have some bizarre romantic comedy about two already established characters. It's kind of like, in a weird way, it's like watching a really weird fan fiction just take life on my TV screen. But there's bits of it where, obviously, going off of the trailers, you can tell there's a bit of time jumping going on.
Spoilers.
I won't spoil anything that's in the trailer of the TV show, but
some people consider trailers to be spoilers.
all the little details that they have in terms of like historical time periods, they're so detailed. It's really incredible. Just looking at the backgrounds, at the character designs, the costumes, the hair, everything about it just made me really happy.
I just can't understand how Vision's still alive. That's the bit I want to find out. Very excited by that.
That's the point, Gareth. And spoilers, you know, just in case anyone hasn't seen a film from 4 or 5 years ago now.
Well, I'm spoiling that. Like, you should have watched it. You had your opportunity. So basically, where we are is that right after the events of Endgame, like, if you should have seen Endgame. Like, most of the heroes came back, except for the ones that got murked out before the snap. So theoretically, no Loki. We only have Loki because during that time travel debacle, he got his hands back on the Tesseract and was like, I'm out! theoretically, there is no Vision because he died pre-snap. So we find WandaVision, and you see Wanda and Vision alive, a very alive Vision. And they're so... It's a love letter to anyone who loved, who read House of M. The comic, I can't go too deep because that would be a spoiler. Anybody who read the Vision series, like there are, like I, after watching those 2 episodes, I spent so much time on the interwebs looking for Easter egg articles. So I can be like, okay, so I was right about this. I did see that. I didn't see that. And I am so excited that this is the way that they're going to be bringing in phase 4 of the MCU. It's brilliant because it's unlike anything we've seen before. There's that wholesomeness of the 50s and 60s sitcoms, but then there's this, like, but it also feels like the Twilight Zone because there are moments where it's just like, oh, this is weird. What is going on? And it just kind of just, no, nothing to see here. Even the credits have things that you need to pay attention to. Like, there's much that you should, you need to watch at least 2 times and, like, really just start looking for things. If you're a Gareth, you don't have to worry about it. You're not a comic book buff. You're not going to catch any of that stuff. Just, but for the comic book buffs and fans of the series, like, there's a lot there for us.
But those are the things that, you know, I work backwards. I'm like, let's go back right to the beginning. If there's an origin story to me to follow, I'm going to do it. This is my Turtles playing cards moment. So these are the kind of things that I want to see to bring me in further. Right, quickly, Ty, Resident Evil 8 Village. Are we excited for this?
Big lady!
Tall vampire! Yep.
I'm so excited for Resident Evil Village.
I wish people could have seen visually how excited Ty was then. It was genuine glee.
Like, even though I think she might be a werewolf, like, have you seen a vampire that big?
Be a vampire that big, though. I want just a big, mean bat lady to just fuck me up.
Alright!
Cool.
Honestly, Resident Evil has just been really good lately. Like, I did not grow up playing it, but I started, I actually started with Resident Evil 7, and I really enjoyed it, I think, because it was a little bit different than the older formula, but still, like, playing with the mainstays of it. And then Resident Evil 2 Remake has been really fun. I am taking 100 years to get through it because I'm a big scaredy cat. But it's really good and fun, and so, like, I'm really excited to see what they do with this weird big lady and like her maybe vampire coven who's hanging out in all the backgrounds of everything. And like, also, why is it a village? Is it going to be a weird Dracula Castlevania thing? Like, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
I can't help. I wish you could see how excited I said it. I know I've said it already, but it's just it's coming off in waves, even across the pond. It's amazing.
Because there is. So for those of us, or those of you who are in the know, Resident Evil last weekend put out this teaser trailer, and there was this huge, ginormous, Brigitte Nielsen-esque lady. And you can tell she is up to no good, and she's with her ne'er-do-well friends, and she is just towering,
and it's powerful,
towering over this, over her fellow baddies, and everyone is in love with her because it's like, who is this? Why is she so tall? What is she going to do?
Especially too, because RE does not necessarily have a great history with its female villains. So,
but I loved Veronica. I loved Code Veronica so much.
Oh, I haven't played Code Veronica.
You need to play Code Veronica. Oh my god.
Okay. Okay. I'll add it to my list. But just thinking about the women in Seven all kind of got thrown under the bus in a lot of ways. And it's interesting to see that it looks like for this one, the main baddie and her squad are all women, which is very interesting because in Seven, we mostly saw Jack as the promo, right? Because he was the first house area and it was supposed to be reminiscent of the old games and stuff like that. So it is kind of a shift in their marketing to be instead of, just creepy zombies and stuff, here's this big old lady with these other ladies and they're not monsters yet, but they probably are gonna be. And that's just very exciting.
I do kind of love that they just really redid themselves. Because the first handful of games were amazing, and then everything after, I think it was Five, where everyone, even the fans, were looking at things and going, yeah, this is tanking. I'm sorry, Chris's boulder-crushing biceps cannot stand me through this entire franchise anymore. But since they've remade the first two and introduced Seven, they've just kind of done this route where they've gone, we used to do zombies and kind of plagues and viruses, but what if we just did everything? We're not a zombie franchise anymore. Anything goes. Let's see where this is. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah, and it's cool because it kind of calls back to Four a little bit too, with the vibe of walking through the weird abandoned European village area and then stuff kind of popping out and being all creepy, but it's clearly very different, so it's exciting.
I'm a big fan of I'm not a big fan of the PS5 yet, but the thing that's going to draw me into actually buying one when I can actually do it is going to be the DualSense controller and the haptic feedback. And one of the big worries that I had was, will it just be Astro's Playground when it turns up and it's just this demo that uses how good the controller could be?
And God, it's going to be so scary with the haptic feedback.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that Naomi Osaka was the one that gave us the fact that that's going to be part of the Resident Evil 8 game, or the Resident Evil Village game, sorry. That in this weird promo that she's the one that's going to be like, yep, giving you some more information. So well done, Naomi. Thanks for that.
It's going to be so scary. I'm going to end up hurling that stupid expensive controller through my wall.
Just the TV. I will place it gently and freak out, but I will not chuck.
I just am I'm so jumpy when I get scared. I'm just gonna I know it. The big lady's gonna hit me and I'm gonna just throw it.
I want her to just do pop-ups like she's Mr. X or Nemesis.
Yeah. Did you see there's really good fan art of Mr. X looking up at her? And I love the idea that she's bigger than him.
What? Oh my god, I need this. Need it in my life.
I'll find it.
I haven't played a scary game since Turret the Dinosaur Hunter on the N64 because, that was just too much for me. I was like, you had to spend too long getting through to the next save point. And I told my mum and she said, maybe you shouldn't play it anymore. And I kind of agreed, but I did play it a bit more, but not enough really. Anyway, on that point, let's move on to the news fast. Jess, you understand how this works?
So yeah.
You get 60. You've listened to it, you said before, which is wonderful. But you get 60 seconds and you have to tell us as many news stories as you can in that 60 seconds. Now, the rules are obviously you cannot read from a script and the listener has to be able to understand the story from what you've described. And that's obviously quite a woolly area, but fingers crossed you do a lovely description for each. The record is 13 still, or the lowest record is 1.
So. Okay, I'm fine. That's fine then.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can do 1, yeah.
Exactly. So let's see what you can do. I'm going to count you in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the PS5's HDR bottleneck issue on Samsung TVs is going to be fixed, but that's not going to happen till March. Only a handful of people have encountered that problem because it's mainly to do with 4K playback, though, so don't worry about that too much. Netflix is filming a sequel to Extraction, the 2020 hit that featured Chris Hemsworth as a traumatized yet handsome mercenary. PS5 scalpers apparently managed to secure over 2,000 orders from the UK store Game, but Game have now assured customers that they're going to be checking orders to make sure you can't get more than one per person. New Uncharted game could be in the works for PS5, apparently at their secret studio that somehow everyone knows about. All we really know is about a job listing at the minute that's going to focus on the next chapter of cinematic storytelling, so big news on that front. The new Fortnite update is all about soccer. You can play in your favourite soccer kits with a choice of 23 clubs, play the Pele Cup. I have no idea how that works. There's going to be maps themed around football. That's a thing. Battlefield 6 is rumoured to be cross-generation. It's going to feature a map. Oh, no.
I'm gonna have to give you 5 for that one. That
was boo!
Good. I mean, okay. Thing is, you went down the route of trying to be a really good journalist and explaining your story fully.
Yeah,
no time for journalism here on this podcast whatsoever.
I could have just blasted news headlines and be done with it, but I feel like saying stuff like, "Oh, that issue with PlayStation 5 and Samsung TV, yeah, that's going to be fixed." Anyway, yeah,
exactly. It's a difficult game. There's a balance to be struck, and I feel like you walked it with your head held high. So well done, Jess. An excellent start. Cool. Right, we're going to have one more quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do the final section, and hopefully, then people can go and have a lovely rest. Back in a sec. So this week's noise cancelling podcast is also in association with Razer, but specifically the Razer Book 13. And Cherie has touched this thing.
I have touched it, and it is a very exciting laptop. So first things first, let's just get to know what we're talking about here. So the Razer Book 13 is the first 100% productivity laptop from Razer. And yes, I know, Razer does have a 13-inch laptop. It's called the Blade Stealth, and it was kind of for work, but this is really a true productivity laptop. It's for working on the go, for mobile professionals, and of course, home office use.
But I feel like there's more coming, right?
Of course. So Razer has teamed with Intel to develop the Razer Book 13, and it's Razer's very first Evo-certified laptop. So that Evo certification brings a whole bunch of cool features, like its very long battery runtime. When we tested it, it lasted 13 hours and 14 minutes. It's actually the longest lasting Razer laptop that we've ever tested at Laptop Mag, which is awesome. You get instant wake, which is less than a second to resume power, and the quick recharge functionality, which means you charge it for 30 minutes, you get 4 hours of usage.
That to me is like smartphone, which is pretty good, right?
It's very good. Plus, we get 2 Thunderbolt 4 ports, which, because we're living in the future, it's awesome. You get a full-size HDMI port, and you get fast Wi-Fi 6, a good microphone, and HD webcam.
Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in it, but does that mean it's going to be super heavy, sit in a bag, hurt my shoulder?
No, absolutely not. Razer has never been about being a big, bulky laptop. It's not going to start with the Razer Book. It actually weighs 3.1 pounds, which is really, really light, especially considering that the laptop is made of a full CNC aluminum chassis. Beautiful to look at. And we've got to talk about those chroma keys. They're beautiful. They're customizable. 16.8 million colors that you can play with. And that display, the display is bright and vibrant, so vibrant that you can use it outdoors. You've got a 16.10 aspect ratio, so you're going to really get the most out of that real estate. And it's just a beautiful laptop to use, whether you're in the office, whether you're at home. And it's just a solid, beautiful piece of work.
And so why would a 16:10 screen ratio be useful? That's more than the normal widescreen.
That 16.10 form factor is so important because more screen. Who doesn't want more screen? I want more screen, especially if it's as bright, as vivid as the Razerbook 13's display. So yeah, give me all of that. In addition, you have several resolutions that you can choose from. You've got a full HD plus and an ultra HD plus, and both screens are touchscreen. So if you want to use a stylus or even use your finger, you can do that, and it adds even more functionality to an already productive targeted laptop. So with that stated, if you are looking for a 100% productivity laptop that's lightweight, long-lasting, with a lovely display, the Razerbook 13 is your one-stop shop.
Okay, welcome back to Noise Cancelling once again, and we're just going to quickly wrap up with the crazy stuff that happened at CES. I feel like many people are tired of the Consumer Electronics Show, us included. Now, we've spent a long time looking at these halls that don't even exist because they're virtual this year. But let's look at the hottest slash craziest slash weirdest tech of CES 2021. Cherie, how did your perception this year for the crazy stuff differ from last year?
It differed because last year I actually got to see and touch the crazy stuff. This year I'm just looking from afar, and it made me very sad. I really would have loved to have gotten like some way to demo that $16,000 tub, and that perfume where you can customize a perfume in its jar. I would have loved to have gotten my hands on that. But instead, you know, I got to read about it. And I would have liked to have tried that Keurig ice cream machine too.
Yes.
And instead I got to I'm not a technology journalist and like a regular person. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, tell us more about the Keurig ice cream machine.
I forgot what its exact name is, but basically the ice cream comes in these containers. You pop it into the machine, and you get ice cold soft serve anytime you want.
Called the Cold Snap.
The Cold Snap.
That sounds pretty cool and probably environmentally terrible.
Well, it's supposed the canisters are made of metal, so they're recyclable.
Oh, nice.
It's basically like Mr. Whippy for anyone in the UK. It's like if you could have a coffee pod that just gives you Mr. Whippy on demand. I have no idea if that's what they call it in the States or not, but
soft
we call
serve.
It Mr. Whippy. We don't. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but they don't know the joy of the 99.
So. Yeah, which ironically isn't a 99. It hasn't been 99 for a very long time now.
That would be 99p originally. It was basically how much it cost to have soft serve ice cream with a big Cadbury's flake, crumbly chocolate, just walked in the top.
You only had to pay $1 for that?
Well, a pound, yeah. Well, 99p, that's hence the name. Now it's just a 99 in name only, not in price. Oh, inflation, eh? Oh, yeah. What a political podcast. other things that we saw over there included, Jess, what about you? Anything that you're excited about?
I'll mention the one that isn't Razer before I usually go on my spiel of Razer RGB fanfare, as I usually do. But Yves Saint Laurent brought out a bizarre customizable lipstick pod that it looks completely...
Finally!
Yeah, I know, right? I need to mix so many different shades of lipstick on the go. I can't possibly do that when I'm at home. I don't understand the application purposes of it.
I would want that. Like, especially when I'm on the road doing shows. Because, like, before, like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to be in front of cameras. And I, like, do my makeup. And then, like, I always leave it in my room. If I could have something where I could just make it on the go and be like, boop, like, that would be so dope.
It's this really bizarre, like, it's got three tubes of premixed color that you can put in, and then you control it via an app, and it injects your shade out into, like, the lid, and you mix it with a lipstick brush. It's not like a tube of lipstick. This is, like, it's the size of a stick blender, right, by the look of things.
Oh.
And you're meant to carry that round. It costs $200. Like, I looked at it and went, as a concept, that's so cool, but I would never use it, ever.
Mm-mm, that's too big. Like, I need it to be in a tube. Like a tube of lipstick. I need there to be three separate compartments. You choose how much of the color that comes in, and it injects into the tube. And like, you get your custom color and you do it that way. But yeah, that's too big.
This sounds like, do y'all remember those machines they made where you could like melt your crayons and like make different wild crayons?
Yeah.
This is what that sounds like.
It's very similar kind of in design almost. It's just like a stick where they just pump it up into the lid. But I liked the design aspect of that. And then obviously my usual kind of love letter to all things Razer. I love anything if you stick RGB in it. I'm an easy person to please, but
that is true. She's not just
Or are you gonna get that gamer mask that they
God. I know, I wish I could say this like I'm joking, but I am legitimately excited for that to hit market, because I was having a conversation with my partner the other day about the fact that obviously kind of mask wearing has been quite normalized in the East for a while now, to be like, consider it if you're ill, if you don't want to get other people around you sick, like that kind of situation. They have put so much thought into this mask. It's clear so people can lip read if they have kind of audio visual difficulties. The RGB lighting is not only super cool, but it also has a practical use, because it lets you know when like the mask filters need replacing. The mask filters are the rechargeable kind of disc variants, so you're not just throwing crap away. The mask is made out of recycled material. And also, like, I want to feel like some cyberpunk-esque villain.
I mean, we already are living in the corporate dystopia. We might as well.
Exactly. Like, it lights up your face if you're walking around at night, so that people can still read your lips if you're talking. Like, when they were actually reading off all the different features of this, I went in thinking, oh, yeah, gamer mask, that's such a stupid idea. And then the more they talked about it, I was like, oh, God, no, I do want one. I really, really want one.
I know. I think you're selling me on it right now, which is a little bit upsetting.
It's so cool. It records your voice as well, because the whole thing is silicon sealed to your face, so there's no air getting in, but it plays back your voice via external speakers. So there's no voice muffle, there's no misting issue. If you wear glasses, it's not going to fog up your glasses. Like, everything they listed, I went, how have you done this? I genuinely want one.
Will you sound like Bane?
I hope so. A lot of comments, actually, when they're asking for community feedback, is, can you put a voice changer in there? Because if I can't go around sounding like a chipmunk or Bane, then it feels like a waste of investment. And let's be honest, it's going to be expensive. It comes with like its own case and everything like that, which is somehow less ridiculous than the iPod Max carry case. But if it doesn't change my voice to sound like a really hench robot man, then what am I doing?
I mean, just practice it yourself.
Absolutely. I can just probably drop my voice a couple of octaves.
I was molded by the nun.
What was that, Sheree?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Ty, anything from you that caught your eye at CES?
Not really. You know, I'm a little bit afraid of the technologies, I'm not going to lie. My last laptop I had, I didn't open it for a week because I was scared of it. So
scared of what specifically?
Like just
jack-in-the-box kind of thing?
I don't know. I get real intimidated. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to set all this up. I'm going to have to not break it while I do it. I don't know. Technology gives me a lot of anxiety, so I just don't.
What about a TV that rolls up from the foot of your bed, but is also transparent, like a window?
It sounds neat, I guess. I don't know.
It would make you feel like you're constantly in Star Trek, and I'm all for that.
I mean, just like imagining you like on bed watching TV in the mask. Just like,
oh, absolutely.
Living your best life.
I would, and I'd be there with my cold snap ice cream maker on my bedside, so I never need to leave. Just watching reruns of The Next Generation on my clear plastic TV, like Picard promised me I'd have.
Yeah, LG has made a rollable TV that comes out the bottom of bed. It's a concept, but, you know, as somebody who's used transparent displays in the past, they are weird and hard to watch properly, and it makes your eyes go funny. But we are running massively out of time, so just want to say thank you to everybody on this podcast for making this one of the best. I've loved it so much. Ty, Jess, thank you for joining us for the first time. Do you have any final thoughts you want to part with? Ty, you go first.
No, not really. Just thank y'all for having me. It was really cool to get to, you know, do the editing on the week and be on the podcast and stuff. And yeah.
And how can people get in contact with you, read more of your stuff, enjoy? I mean, you have got a fantastic Twitter handle.
So yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at ty_g8rs.
Can you say it out loud, please?
It's Tiger.
Thank you.
You can also follow my little outlet, Uppercut, over at Uppercut Crit on Twitter and Instagram and all that biz. And yeah.
Thanks. Jess, same question to you.
It's a crazy world outside at the minute, and there's a lot going on, so be kind to yourself and be kind to those around you. And I hope that everyone has enjoyed listening today. I've enjoyed being part of it.
The little one has been doing stories at home recently in homeschooling, and the recent one was, what was her name? Alitronomy, who lives in Planet Crazyland and has just been watering some plants, but the aliens have come down and started to mess things up. And guess what? She had the button for the defense shields, but she put it in an unmarked box and just threw it out. Ah, troubles ensued. So when people say crazy, that's all I can think about Planet Crazyland. So there you go. How can people get in contact with you, Jess?
I have a Twitter handle, which is zombie_wretch, exactly as it sounds like it's spelled. And I'm also... Hmm?
It's with a W, though.
Yeah, wretch.
Yeah, but you could say wretch as in without the W. So
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. So zombie_wretch, spelled WRETCH.
You could just be like, hate zombies, and then they make you feel sick.
That's exactly why I chose my name. Get out of my head, Gareth.
Yeah. Cool. Cherie.
First of all, new president. First woman vice president. We're sitting here watching it. Well, at least I am. So
whoop whoop.
2021 is already off to a better start than I thought it could be. I mean, yes, we had this little rocky coup attempted coup thing, but it's like we're slowly turning it around in the States. We're slowly turning it around. As always, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith11. And as always, for all your laptop news, for all your smartphone headphones, we're getting into monitors. We're going to do a little bit of camera work this year. Go to Laptop Now. It's Laptop Before. Laptop Now. Laptop Forever!
I just like, I hate following Cherie's like build up. It's just, you don't realize it's starting until you suddenly hear the volume and the energy increasing. And it's like, oh God, I make Tech Radar sound so boring, but it's not, it's amazing. Do obviously check out our LGBTQ+ Gaming Week, as we have talked about extensively in this podcast. And thank you, all three of you, for coming on to chat about that. Obviously, we do all the tech business as well around the world. So iPhones, cameras, other things, laptops. Oh, why can't I remember what we talk about? yeah, we recently hired our wonderful Homes editor, Carrie Skinner, so please read her wonderful new work as well. Oh, we do have an email address that we are apologetic for, but you can email us as well. It is noisecancellingpodcast with two L's in cancelling at futurenet.com. It is hard. Noisecancellingpodcast with two L's in cancellingpodcast at futurenet.com. And obviously, do subscribe to us on Spotify. Please give us 5 stars on Apple, because that helps us get up them tech charts and people can listen to us more. That would be lovely. And if we disappointed you in any way, as ever on this podcast, I'm sorry. But hopefully you enjoyed yourself and we'll come back again next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.